is one of those weeks where I started with one sermon in mind and went through quite a number of different options before finally ending up using all of them. Because as soon as we start with a reading like this one from John, it's very easy. The temptation's there to go back to the vision of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. And we rejoice in the images that that conjures up. And it's a great topic, but it's not actually one suggested by the reading. And so I had to choose the psalm set for today and make that one of the readings so that we could have a look at that. Because if you read John 10, the image of Jesus as the Good Shepherd only comes from verse 11, where Jesus says, "I am the Good Shepherd. My sheep listen to my voice. I lay down my life for the sheep." But we're not reading that part today. So I put in Psalm 100 because that's the psalm set for today, which is wonderful. "Know that the Lord is God. It is He who has made us. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture." It's a wonderful psalm of joy, the celebration of God's love and God's care for us. And it's worth spending time and meditating on that passage in your own time. But if we look at the context of the reading for today, John 10, 1-10, it's clear that Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, those who were in the crowd with him. They'd come to challenge Jesus. They'd come to challenge something that he had just done. They were asking him under what authority he had healed somebody on the Sabbath. If we go back a bit in chapter 9, we find the story of Jesus healing a man who's born blind. And the man's dragged before the court because he's been healed on the Sabbath, and that's not acceptable. They want to know who healed him and how that person dared to heal. And Jesus' response, of course, is to challenge the Pharisees right back. And so this passage is really about leadership. It's about the leaders of Israel. And of course, especially after Wednesday, we can use it to challenge our own leaders. We can look at our current political leaders and try and see how they stack up in light of this, of today's passage. But we can also look at our church leaders. How do they fare in light of what Jesus is saying? And what about business leaders? What about parents? Or people who find themselves in a leadership position in a group of friends? You're the one people always come to. How do you fit in with what Jesus is talking about? And then, of course, there's the third theme, which Jesus ends with, the idea of the abundant life that Jesus offers us. What does Jesus understand by the term? And over all of this, we have that great I am statement from Jesus. I am the gate. And it fits alongside, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the gate into abundant life. I am the way to eternal rest. I am the gate through which the sheep enter. Next week, we're going to be continuing our series on the nature of God. And that's certainly part of our understanding of who God is. God is the shepherd. It's part of our experience of God, Jesus as the good shepherd, the one who lays down his life for the sheep. And the Old Testament also speaks a lot about God as a shepherd, one who knows his sheep, one who cares for them, who leads them in pastures green. We have images of God rescuing the lost sheep, caring for those who've been hurt. And so we know that God will protect us from danger and from wandering away. And here Jesus speaks of the shepherd lying in front of the gateway at night to protect against animals. And they're beautiful images of a shepherd concerned about his sheep. God is concerned about each of us. God is concerned with what's happening in our life. We are all precious to God. Of course, the image does imply that we're all sheep, which is not really a compliment. If you've ever worked with sheep, you'll know that they're very nearsighted, they're stubborn, they're easily frightened, they're easily lost. They have no homing instinct. If sheep get lost, they won't find their way home. Every other domestic animal will find its way home. A sheep will just mill around. We need a shepherd to show us a way to feeding ground. We need a shepherd to show us the way home. And I encourage you to hold on to these images of God. Bring them to mind when you're feeling lost or frightened, when you're feeling rejected by the world. Know that God is your shepherd looking after you. Know that you have a shepherd who knows you by name, who cares for you and cares what happens to you. But that second theme that I mentioned is the main context of the passage. Jesus challenging the Pharisees in their role as shepherds. If they claim to be shepherds of the people of Israel, they must admit their failings. They must return to serving God through serving people, through serving God's people in love. And they need to recognize that the law is subservient to God's law of love. They weren't acting like shepherds of the sheep. They appear rather trying to be the gatekeepers. They're trying to determine what's right and what's wrong. The Pharisees are saying, this is the law. This is what's right, this is what's wrong. You're out, you're in. To be fair, that's what they thought they should be doing. The Pharisees, the scribes, had set themselves up as the interpreters of the law. They took the Old Testament law passages and they interpreted them for the people. And they created a whole lot of little laws to say, this is what the law actually means. And they taught them to the people, and then they put themselves up as the enforcers of those laws. And they said, you need to follow this. And so God's commission for them to respect the Sabbath, to keep it holy, turned into many, many different laws of what they were allowed to do and what they weren't allowed to do. In chapter 9, Jesus says to them, if you claim that you can see, if you claim to know the truth, then you are guilty of sin. You remain guilty of sin if you say, I know the truth. And the context here is the refusal of the Pharisees to accept Jesus, to accept his teaching, to accept what he's doing, and especially, specifically here, his healing somebody on the Sabbath. For them, the rule of Sabbath rest was more important than the welfare of the man, more important than the physical well-being of the person. What they'd done is they'd separated the soul from the body, and they had said, we'll concentrate on the person's soul. It doesn't matter what happens to the body. We do that ourselves. It's a very Greek concept. It's unusual that the Pharisees were doing it. We say we can ignore the pain of people if we guide them to eternal life. And you may find some churches, some people saying this these days as well. It's far more important to look after people's souls, they say. But Jesus refuses to let them teach this. And if you look at Jesus' teachings, you look at his actions, Jesus cares first for the physical needs of the people. His main concern is that people are looked after and cared for. He knows that the words that speak to people's hearts will be heard far more easily if their physical needs are cared for. Loving God, loving our neighbor, it's not just the theory to Jesus. It's the active center of our faith. That's the main part of his teaching. The Sabbath, he says, is about bringing glory to God. And healing someone is part of that. In fact, our whole life is to be given over to bringing glory to God. And so Jesus is saying to them, look after the well-being of your flock. As sheep, and we are all sheep, it's important for us to learn to hear and to be able to identify the voice of our shepherd, to distinguish it from those who would lead us astray. And sometimes, in reality, our leaders can speak with both voices. And we can only pick out their errors if we're steeped in the words of God, if we're steeped in prayer and in reading the Bible, reading other people's words, so that we can hear God's message. I certainly don't enjoy it, but I do appreciate it when somebody comes to me and says, Stephen, I don't agree with what you said. I think you've got it wrong. I've been granted the authority to share God's word as I hear it. That's part of what being a priest is. But there will be times when my own fears, my own arrogance will get in the way. And we all need to be warned when we're drifting away from the truth. And as we look at our country's leaders, we ordinary people have a deep responsibility to continue to hold each one accountable for their words, for their actions. We have a constitution, we have a Bill of Rights, and as Christians, we have the Word of God. Each of these must be used to ensure that those who've placed themselves in positions of authority and leadership must do so with honesty, do so in service of the needs of all people. The elections aren't the end, they're the beginning of the process. Some people will say that politics and religion don't mix, but they clearly haven't watched Jesus challenge every authority of his day. challenge what they were doing and saying, challenging political structures and saying, are you looking after the needs of the people? And that's the context of this passage. The religious leaders had drifted from the truth in their teaching, in their leadership of the people. They were no longer leading the people in the correct way. And the image that Jesus portrays is quite simple but very powerful. In the first part, he points to a sort of communal village sheep pen. All the shepherds who had been out in the fields would bring their sheep in to a single pen. And there would be somebody there paid to be the gatekeeper, and he would look after the sheep overnight. And in the morning, the shepherds that he recognized would be allowed to come in and call out their sheep, and the sheep would respond to their voice. Anyone else who came in trying to call out other sheep would fail to do so because the sheep wouldn't recognize their voice, and the gatekeeper's responsibility was to keep them out. Anyone who tries to come in over the wall, Jesus says, is a thief and a robber. I am the gate. Leaders of the sheep need to come through me. They need to follow my teaching of honesty and compassion and care. He says to the leadership, if you find that the sheep aren't listening to you, then perhaps you're only speaking what you want to hear. You're not hearing the voice of God anymore. And then the second image that Jesus portrays is of the rural pens. So the shepherds had gone out into the field and had to spend a night out in the field. They would go to a small walled enclosure, put their sheep in there, and lie down in the gateway so that no wild animals could come in and the sheep couldn't escape. I am this gate, Jesus says. In much the same light as he uses in the other I am statements, he says, I am the one way into the security of the pen. I am the only way in, and I am the one way out to the satisfaction of the open fields. Now, I know some people find the exclusivity of these statements very difficult to handle and to accept. And certainly I like to hold them in tension with a phrase that comes later in the passage, where Jesus talks about sheep who are not of this fold, who will hear my voice. I'm also very loath to place myself as a gatekeeper, as the Pharisees did. I'll leave that role to Jesus, because when Jesus declares that he's the gate, the new gate for the sheep pen of Israel, he's saying that he is the one who will define what is right and wrong. His words will say this is what is right and wrong. He will define what is holy and what is not, who are in and who are out. Jesus is the true gate through which we enter God's space, where we find safety and salvation, where we find security and nourishment. Outsiders, like the once rejected blind man, will now be able to re-enter and to receive abundant life. And it struck me while I was reading this that we focus a lot on the gate as a way in, as a way into the small enclosure. And that's certainly the place for safety and security at night. But Jesus ends the passage talking about abundant life. I was reminded of the gate in the last Battle of the Narnia series. I heard it in a funeral recently. And the story comes to an end, and the characters stand in front of a gate for judgment. And those who've retained their integrity, who've retained their faith, are welcomed to enter through the gate into a new Narnia, which stretches on forever. A new story, C.S. Lewis says, in which every chapter is better than the one before. And that's the image of the abundant life of Jesus. Any attempt to leave the safety of the pen, except through the gate, would lead just to another enclosure, another locked pen. I have this image of a number of these walled enclosures, and if you climb out of one, you just climb back into another one. Only through Jesus can we enter into God's space, to an appreciation of abundant life. Even when all around us appears limited, we can know the abundance of God's life. We need to recognize that each moment is a gift from God, a gift of God's grace, a gift of God's love, a gift filled with opportunity to grow, to give to others, to receive from God. Something that's so much more than just the acquisition of wealth, which other people see as of the abundant life. Through Jesus, we have a chance to not simply persist, but to thrive, not simply to exist, but to flourish, to have a sense of meaning, a sense of purpose and fulfillment, to be known and to know, and to accept and be accepted. We're going to look at this a little bit more when we look at the grace of God next week. But it's a message that Jesus highlights for the Pharisees. Your rules, your demands for the people are limiting the people. They're in fact taking people away from the presence of God, the kingdom of God's presence. Through Jesus, through his teaching, the true shepherds will lead and care for their sheep. And so we left asking ourselves at the end of the passage, if we're leaders, if we find ourselves in a leadership position, are we listening to God's voice? Are we sharing honestly with others? Are we leading with compassion and care? Are we willing to defend our flock from those who are trying to lead them astray? And as sheep, are we listening to hear the voice of God? Are we listening carefully to the shepherds that God has given us? And are we standing firm when they also seem lost? Have we recognized Jesus as the gate to abundant life? Or are we trying to go through a different way? And finally, are we open to see the abundant life that God has given us already? The kingdom of God that's all around us. The freedom that God gives us that's far bigger than we can imagine. This deep security of having Jesus as our gate, as the shepherd lying to protect us in the doorway. Both of those are part of our faith, secure in the knowledge that God is with us, that we are in the presence of God, and the abundant freedom to be all that we can be, to reach out, to redeem all of our life. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who has made us. We are his. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. The Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen.